to In the Country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Mike Denny is president of MDM Recordings, an independent country record label based in Toronto, Ontario. Founded in 2008, MDM's current roster includes Chad Brownlee, Jess Moskaluk, Bobby Wills, and the Lovelocks. There's lots to talk about with Mike, and I'll be playing some great MDM music on the show. My pleasure to welcome now Mike Denny. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Dave. How are you?
I am doing wonderful. Great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, and as I mentioned, we're going to play music from several of the artists that are on your roster who are doing so well, not only at radio, but with a bunch of CCMA nominations. First of all, let's talk about the past weekend, another busy one for you with a couple of big music festivals happening.
Yeah, it was one of those weekends that you kind of dread and dream about it all at the same time. Friday afternoon, we were at Boots and Hearts with Jess Moskaluk on the front porch stage, and it was one of the wildest sets I think I've ever been through in terms of being three quarters of the way through her set and then having to stop because of the unbelievable storm that came through, and then negotiating a deal with the stage manager to allow us to go back on to play one more song, Cheap Wine and Cigarettes, and the kids and the fans were absolutely going crazy when she came back out to play that song. It's so resonating with people. And from there, we literally jumped in the car, drove to the Toronto airport, and we're on a flight to Big Valley Jamboree at about 11:20 that night, and got to bed somewhere around 4:30 in the morning, and did the same thing the whole next day. I had Chad Brownlee on the main stage in the afternoon, and Jess did a couple of private performances, and then closed the beer garden on Saturday night to about 10,000 people, and her good pal Chad Brownlee showed up for a couple of songs at that too. So it was a great weekend, and then a quick flight home on Sunday, and then straight to bed.
So anyone who sits back and thinks that, wow, I'm going to get in the music business, it's going to be glamorous, going to be a lot of highs, I mean, that's only a small part of what you do, but that sounds like a lot of work to just get around.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I kind of have to pinch myself every now and then when I look back at just how far we've come in, as a label and as an entity in a relatively short period of time. We celebrated our 6th anniversary in May, and I started the company by myself in the basement of my house, and was primarily just a production and distribution company where we would distribute finished masters for artists. And now we're a full-fledged operating independent entity. So I'm sending out emails now to keep people abreast of what's going on with our artists. We're our direct team, and sometimes there's 15 to 20 different people that are on that email now, which astounds me that there's that many people involved and that they're all making money from this entity. So it's great. It's exciting. But it is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Yeah, a lot of hard work. And you started, as you said, back in 2008 during a recession. So not only, you know, it's hard to start a company at any time, but you started at a pretty tough point.
Yeah, I really didn't have a choice. I was working for a distribution company called Fusion 3 Distribution. I was director of sales and marketing for the company for about 4.5 years, and they were feeling the pinch just like every other company was at that particular time. And catalog CDs were being shrunken in terms of bin space at stores, and that's primarily what Fusion 3 was. And I was probably the highest paid employee, so the first one to go. And I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I was still getting phone calls from artists looking for support and guidance, and I invested in myself and flew out to the CCMAs that year in Winnipeg, and met a lot of people, bought drinks for a lot of people, talked to a lot of artists, and I came out of there with a roster of 5 artists that got me off the ground, a combination of developing artists and a couple of established acts that allowed me to generate some income and some cash flow while we worked on, yep. on getting this thing up and running. And it's, I got lucky, I guess.
Luck and hard work and all that stuff that comes together, as you said, a lot of connections and a reputation that you have. It's got to be exciting. The established artists you talked about, when they sign on, maybe they've already had some traction in the country music business. But when you get to work with somebody sort of starting at ground zero and you see their career develop and you are, you know, responsible for that, that's got to be exciting.
It's the best feeling in the world. I go back to my first meeting with Chad Brownlee, when he and Mitch Merritt came to the house. Chad, I think, honestly, had just come from the hockey arena. It was so early on, and he sat in my living room, and him and Mitch played a couple of songs that they had written on a recent trip to Nashville, and I was like, oh, my God, this is incredible. And you just knew what was sitting in front of you as far as talent goes. And I look, you know, 4.5, 5 years later on down the line with Juno nominations, Male Artist of the Year nominations for the CCMAs in previous years, and just what we're doing now on the touring schedule. And it's incredible to watch your artist grow, watch the fan base grow, watch the radio mm-hmm. singles continue to mount, and just watch him generating a career for himself in Canada, which is really tough to do as a Canadian country music artist.
Definitely. And you have some great variety on your roster. The Lovelocks have a great sound. They're a roots
yeah.
group. And, in fact, they're nominated for a CCMA for Roots Artist of the Year. They have a great sound. I've seen them perform live several occasions, run into you at those times. I love that you're supporting a group like that.
For us, and specific to the Lovelocks, I've known Allie Rainey for probably 8 or 9 years. I met her back in the latter part of my Fusion 3 days when she was the side person with Alex J. Robinson back in the
right.
day, and I just thought that she was one of the most talented female musician artists that I had ever seen, and I'd have numerous conversations with her over the years saying, you've got to step out of the side and come full circle and be that front person. She was never that person, and then I got a phone call one day from her and her husband saying, can you come over to the house for dinner? We would like to talk to you. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I did, and she was like, I want to give this thing a go. It's with another female by the name of Zoe Newman, and we don't really have a name or anything yet, but would you be interested in helping us? So I called my partner, Mitch Merritt, who is everything I'm not on the creative side of the business, and Mitch took the girls down to Nashville for a week. And we recorded the 6-song EP with Ben Glover, who we did Day After
yes.
You with, and a couple of other Chad Brownlee songs back in the day. And it just sort of meshed. It came out totally different than what we thought it was going to be
right.
when we went into the studio. And it's something that has just kind of had this grassroots groundswell appeal to it, and that's exactly what we wanted for the girls. It wasn't about pressing the button instantly to get radio airplay. It was letting them grow and develop, let people discover the talent that these girls have,
mm-hmm.
As well as something that's a little bit left to center right now. So we are getting some support at radio, but we're letting things just kind of grow organically, and we'll look to really kind of push the button in the fall after we get through the CCMAs and after a lot of the music directors and program directors have been able to see them, hopefully, at the New Artist Discovery Challenge in September and
right.
then to the CCMAs. But we're in the planning stages now for album number 2 and getting the girls set
oh,
to
great.
Go back down to Nashville and write some songs and start recording again in the fall.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. I love their first EP, and I've got a song of theirs we're going to play on the show today, and that's exciting news about
oh, cool.
a second album. Yeah, you're talking about nurturing an act and, you know, the Lovelocks giving them time. I think that's really important if you can do that, because we hear about labels and artists who, you know, if their first single doesn't do well, they get dropped, and they don't really have a chance to, have a chance to develop and stay in the game.
Yeah, it's hard. And the financial resources to sustain a career and get a career off the ground are unbelievable, especially in those early days, because the upfront costs are massive. We're very fortunate as MDM Recordings, and because of the sales success that we've had with Chad Brownlee, that it's opened up some doors with us with Factor. with Star Maker, which has allowed us to become a level four record company and allows us to access some funding to offset some of the startup costs for the artists that we sign. Now, each we have various different deals, and the Lovelocks right now are in what we call a production and distribution deal, but the conversation is there to look at moving them potentially into a full recording deal. It does take time. I mean, I've been working now with Jess Moskaluk for 3.5 years, from the time I first saw a video of hers on Facebook to the time that we went in and recorded 3 or 4 songs in Vancouver, to the time that we almost ended our relationship 2 Christmases ago, because it wasn't happening, and we were at opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of where we each thought we needed to go. And it was a very interesting conversation that we had just before Christmas time, and we decided just to kind of enjoy Christmas with our families and mm-hmm. leave the business alone, and we came back together in the new year, and over the Christmas holidays had been awarded a grant to go into the studio for Jess for about $20,000 from Factor. And wow. I didn't have that in the parting conversations we were having before Christmas, but that was kind of the catalyst to get us back to talking, to trying to understand each other's needs and what I wanted and needed from her, because we were converting her from a YouTube artist to a recording artist, which is hard to do. And she had always been independent. She had always worked and done everything on her own, and I was trying to bring in numerous different team members to take some of the pressure off her so that she could concentrate on writing the best songs, recording, and doing the best that she could as an artist. And it was difficult. It was really difficult. So for us to get a gold single tomorrow, and I don't mean to shift from the Lovelocks to Jess, but from the artist development piece, to come from where we were right. barely even talking to each other to now having an amazing working relationship, and we're on the move, it's awesome. It's the greatest feeling in the world, and I'm so happy for her, and it's great. It's exciting.
It is amazing, and I mean, she's come so far. I mean, Good Lovin' was a huge single. Cheap Wine and Cigarettes, which we'll talk about a bit more, is a huge
sure.
song. I hear it all the time on the radio. But she's nominated this year CCMA's Female Artist of the Year, Rising Star, Interactive Artist, Album Design. Pretty amazing, as you said, where she was, where things are now, and I guess that's just a thing about the music business. You don't know when your time is going to come.
No, we thought when we released the Catch Me If You Can EP that there was a couple of killer songs that were on there that I honestly thought it was a no-brainer. I thought with the first single that we put out, which was Catch Me If You Can, that this is too easy. And it turned
right.
out to be one of the more frustrating rides that I've ever had. We were actually in the manufacturing phase of the Catch Me If You Can EP, and we were doing a showcase for CMT at the Chorus building on Queens Quay, if I can get it out.
I do that.
And she played a song called Hit and Run, and the whole
right.
room came up to me and said, that's a hit. And I was like, I hope it's not a hit, because we're going to have a tough time getting it on the record. And I proceeded to go down to the parking lot, and I put a hold on the manufacturing of the CD and on the artwork. The artwork was already printed, so we couldn't get the track listed on there, but the CD was not printed yet, and we managed to get it added as a hidden track. So if you have the Catch Me If You Can EP, I think there's 7 songs listed. There's actually 8 songs on there. But Hit and Run was the song that kind of introduced and kind of broke us through. We ended up going 35 on the BDS charts. And that kind of opened the door for the buzz to continue to develop and build on Jess to the point where we are now.
And I'm going to play Cheap Wine and Cigarettes in just a moment, Mike. Let's talk about the song itself, of course, getting tons of airplay, and I'll let you talk a little more about that, the milestone it's achieving. But was this a song, I can't recall, that she had a hand in writing, or is this an outside song?
This is a Nashville-written song. When we started the process of pulling everything together for the album, she came to me and asked if we could have a Nashville-based producer record the record. And she gave me the fella's name, and his name is Corey Crowder, who is an amazing writer in his own right, but also a recording artist and producer down in Nashville, and he was getting some great traction on some of his demos that he was doing for the publishing companies, and he had written previously with Jess, and they had this synergy that she seemed to think would work. He'd never produced a record, full record, before. It was the first time into the studio, but he was extremely tapped into the publishing companies in Nashville, and we pulled approximately 150 songs in the initial music meetings that we sat down in and narrowed it down from 150 to 100, down to 50, down to 25, and eventually down to the last 10 that we ended up recording for the record. And
right.
Cheap Wine and Cigarettes was one of them. It's a co-writer on this is Hillary Lindsay, who's a well-known Nashville writer.
Yeah.
And we just knew that. We knew it was a good song. I'm not going to deny it. It was a good song when I heard it. I'm totally overwhelmed, as is Jess, in terms of what it's done from a sales point of view for her and for her career. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And considering the song did not even crack top 10 in Canada. We peaked at
wow.
number 11, and the song is selling 2,000 units a week still. And we're number 20 this week. We're on our way down with the single as far as radio spins go.
Yeah.
But the sales are staying consistent, which is – that just
That's
doesn't happen. So my hope is that this opens up the door for some other female artists in this country, because I think they're in the penalty box a little bit with just the bro country thing that's going on
yeah.
out there. And as Jess and I call it, and a few other people, we want to see more of the bra country. Coming through, so hopefully
right.
you know more of the females get their chance to,
yes.
to get into that spot in the next little while.
Oh, there are so many talented female artists out there in the States and, of course, in Canada that should be on the radio and get played. And I love hearing female voices, so let's hope that Jess is, you know, helping to open up that door.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, you know, we have this philosophy within our camp in MDM Recordings that, you know, best song wins. And that philosophy goes through the Chad camp, it goes through the Bobby Wills camp, it goes through the Lovelocks camp, it goes through Jeff Moskaluk, and that, yeah, I own the publishing for three of those four artists as well, too, and I'd love for them to be writing all of the songs, because obviously
right.
that's a huge chunk of income that comes in on the writing side of things, but
yeah.
if there's a song that comes in that is solicited to us and we know it's a fit, then we will drop everything and record that song. And that
mm-hmm.
was Cheap Wine and Cigarettes for sure.
It's
the
great
demo
one. It's
on
with
it is totally
oh,
different than what we finished up.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I find that
yeah.
always interesting.
Like
how
a slow folk song.
Oh, interesting. Wow. Yeah, because this is,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say, this is what they call an earworm.
Yeah, very much so. Very much
yep.
so. I couldn't believe it. The first time I heard it, I was like, oh, my God. And it's under 3 minutes long, too. So all
That's
the radio
right.
music directors and program directors love it because it's quick and down and dirty and can sneak
yeah.
it in when you need to get to the hour to get to news and weather.
That's right. It's a great song. Let's share it now. This is Jess Moskaluk as we talk with Mike Denny on this episode of In the Country, Cheap Wine and Cigarettes.
Yeah.
And that is Jess Moskaluk with her huge song called Cheap Wine and Cigarettes. My guest on the show is Mike Denny, president of MDM Recordings. And if you want to check out the website, it's mdmrecordings.net. You'll find out a lot about Mike and the company there. Great song again. And I wanted to ask you, Mike, when you're looking to find new talent, what are the ways you do that? Are you going out to clubs, to different venues, or are artists submitting demos to you?
It's changed quite a bit in the 5 years, 6 years that we've been around. In the early days, I was heavily soliciting people that I knew within the industry. In the early days, I was looking for anybody to take a chance on me, just right. Based on my previous credentials and my previous industry experience, because that's all that I had to really rely on. When I started this, and I never envisioned being an entrepreneur either. That was never in my plan. As we fast forward a few years, and as things develop with Chad Brownlee, and as things develop with Jess Moskaluk and Haley in the U.S. and Bobby Wills and Charlie Major, the A&R aspect has changed dramatically. I don't find myself aggressively going into the clubs looking for new talent. I have people, contacts, connections who will send music to me for specific artists that are looking to get signed. I will take a listen, and I do listen to every single song that comes into MDM Recordings for consideration to be signed to the roster. The process now, because of the success that we're having with the other artists, has increased the bar immensely from where it was 5 years ago, and that's not to downplay any of the early artists that I signed, but when artists start to break and you start to become successful, the workload that goes along with that is incredible. Chad Brownlee alone is a full-time job, just managing
right.
Chad's career and the record portion and all the rest of that stuff. So if I can't see the artist somewhere down the future getting to the same level as a Chad Brownlee, then I would probably pass on it, regardless of how good it is. And that's a tough thing to do, because nobody wants to hear that their baby's ugly. And that's one of the things
exactly.
that I dislike about being a record company person, is there's only so many hours in the day, and I'm getting, on average, I get solicited anywhere from 5 to 10 packages a week from artists that are looking for deals and looking to get signed. And some of them are really, really, really good. And it's a gut thing for me. If I don't feel it, and if I don't feel I'm passionate about it, then I'll pass. And we have passed on a couple of things that have come back to, not haunt me, but come back to say, you know what, I could have had that.
Yeah.
And they've gone on to be successful, which is great. And, that's the awesome part about this business, is just because somebody like myself says no, it doesn't mean that somebody else at one of the other labels is going to say yes, and on you go. And I say that to every person when we have that discussion. It's like, go prove me wrong. I love to be proven wrong.
Right.
Because that's
right.
the beauty of artist development in this country, and the beauty of music, is that just because it doesn't resonate with one person doesn't mean that there's not a fan base for that music out
yep.
there in the market.
That relates
so,
to an artist or a song might get criticized or might get passed on, but it's going to be appreciated somewhere else, or somebody else is going to see the potential.
Yeah, absolutely. And every song, every artist is different. And it's a tricky process in signing an artist, because it's a marriage. And if it's not working, believe me, it is the most awful thing in the world when you're invested in something and it's not working and not going the direction that you wanted to go, that you all
right.
thought it was going to go on the day that you signed the deal. So
right.
there's a checklist of stuff that we're looking for. I mean, first and foremost, it will always start with the song. The song will open up the conversation to the artist's personality, their live performance chops, their writing chops, their understanding of what it takes to be a Canadian country music artist, and just how difficult it is, and the demands on your schedule and your timing and routing, and having somebody, an artist who understands just what they're getting themselves into, because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work for the label and the management company, but it's as much work for the artist, even more so now because of the social and viral networks that are out there and fans wanting direct access to the artist.
Yeah, it's it's not a matter of just the talent, but just like yourself, those artists have to have that passion. It's got to be everything they want so that when they come up against those hurdles or that hard work, they're not going to give up. And you want an artist who is going to be willing to put in that hard work.
Yeah, I use two quotes. If I want it more than you, it's not going to work. And I know I want to sign you when I know you don't need me. Which
right.
kind of sounds cocky, but when you break it down, what it means is that you may not know everything there is to know about the music business, but you're smart enough to understand that you need to have the social viral networking campaign piece in place. You need to be out there booking your own gigs. You need to be out there securing your own media in the early days and having a total understanding of how this business works. You can't just show up and I'm a good singer. Put me on the stage. And
right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Those days are sadly long gone.
So much more to it than that. We are going to turn, before we get back to some more conversation, Mike, I want to turn to Bobby Wills, who's been a huge success story in Canadian country music. He is up for a Male Artist of the Year at this year's CCMAs. Man, he's had a string of hits from his album, Crazy Enough. The song I'm going to play in a moment is called Never Didn't Love You, which is his latest.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about Bobby and how the two of you crossed paths.
Wow. This goes back to that timing thing that I think we talked about a few minutes ago. In the early days of Bobby's career, when we had just signed Chad and we were just starting to get some radio success with Chad, Bobby approached us about putting out his first LP or EP, six-song EP that he had back in the day, and I really liked it. I loved every song, and I was like, wow, we've got to sign this. And I kept going to Mitch, going, Mitch, we got to do something with this. And Mitch finally, you know, convinced me that we needed to kind of place our bets on one horse, not on two. And we needed to concentrate on Chad and develop Chad and break him before we should start looking at bringing in more artists to try and build the company. And I reluctantly agreed to that. And we went on to develop Chad and get him to a place where he is making money and he's a solid entity now in the Canadian country music scene. And it was, I'm going to say last October, when Bobby and I had a conversation at Breakout West in Calgary. And I was just like, hey, you know, if you ever want to just have a conversation and talk about your career or where you're going, by all means, you know, give me a call. And he did. He reached out, and he played me Crazy Enough in his car out in Calgary. And I was like, this is going to be a huge hit for you. And I felt it was the direction that he needed to go to get to a different level. And I love that song. Every time I hear that song, it's just another earworm for me in terms
great
of
song.
Songs that just resonate and resonates live. And then from there, we signed the deal. We worked through Christmas holidays to get that deal signed and done. And we dropped Crazy Enough on January the 27th, which was relatively quick. But it was the only open window that we had. Because I knew I had a Chad single coming, a Jess single coming, a Lovelocks album, a Haley album, and it was chaos. But we found a window to get it in, and we went, and it's been great. Bobby's been he's a little, obviously a little bit older, but still very much in the artist development phase, and we're still very much linking artists to song, which is fun to watch those numbers grow and see where he was to. Know where we are now on previous singles that had gone top 10 for him, but hadn't really sold anything in terms of substantial numbers. And Crazy Enough was kind of our first test to say, you know what, we can take you as MDM Recordings, we can take you to the next level. And we did that. I mean, we sold more singles on Crazy Enough than he had sold digital singles on the entire last album, that's an amazing feat. So
that's
growth too.
Yeah, and it's great to see Bobby Wills, much like Gord Bamford, very traditional sounding country, although contemporary in many aspects, but it just has that thing, the sound that a lot of country fans who grew up on country really like.
So do I. I think it's kind of a breath of fresh air in terms of
Bobby's
style and what he's singing about. He will be really fortunate in that he will be allowed to have a career late into his 40s because it's not tailgates and Daisy Dukes and all the rest of that
That's
stuff.
Right.
What he's singing about is real life stories and things that I think are missing a little bit in country music right now. You know, I'm all about the Luke Bryans and those guys, but I think we need, and I hope that at some point it does come back to our roots a little bit more, because I think we need to do that. But in the meantime, for Bobby, he's in a perfect position to make a career for himself in Canada.
Definitely. Well, let's share this song. It's a great new one from his album Crazy Enough. And, of course, all the artists people are listening to on the show are with MDM, and our listeners can head to iTunes and download these songs. This is Bobby Wills, and the song is called Never Didn't Love You, as I continue my chat with Mike Denny here on In the Country. What a great new song from Bobby Wills. That is called Never Didn't Love You. Another terrific in his long line of hits. The album is Crazy Enough, and Bobby is nominated for Male Artist of the Year at this year's CCMAs. I'm speaking with Mike Denny of MDM Recordings. Mike, their big announcement was made, I guess, earlier this month or last month about moving into the Australian market.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this was... something that we've been working on for, better part of 2 years. I have gone to BNDEM, which is a music conference in Cannes, France, each of the last 2 years in January. And on my first year there, I was doing some networking and managed to meet the managing director of Sony Music Australia, a fellow by the name of Ken Hotch. And it was one of those conversations where you meet somebody and you just kind of hit it off. And we developed a great relationship, and we knew we had to start looking at the international markets and the international scene. And Ken was great. He was like, let's just keep talking and let's figure this out. And unfortunately, 1 month turned into 2 months, turned into 6 months, turned into another year. And then 18 months before we recircled back, and he emailed me one day and said, I think I've got something here that works. He says, we have just signed a distribution deal with a company called the Maven Agency, which is an independent record company specializing in heritage Australian acts and new and domestic and international acts, and we think this might be a perfect fit for you. And on top of that, the Maven Agency is owned by Sanity Music, which is the last remaining record store chain in Australia of about 150 stores. So for me, it was pretty much a no-brainer because, you know, signing the deal with the Maven Agency, having distribution by a major label in Sony Music Australia, and then having it being funded by the last retail chain just gives you the automatic exposure that you need in that market.
Right.
And we finally got the deal done and signed, and the first release that we're putting out is Chad Brownlee. It goes in the early part of September, with the album coming out the end of September, and we are full steam ahead now in terms of looking to get Chad into the Australian market sometime in 2015, either in January for the Tamsworth Festival or in March for the CMC Rocks Festival, which is CMC is the Australian version of CMT. Down there.
Okay.
And we have had great relationships with those people, and now that we have the distribution piece, our agent Nick Minema at the agency group is aggressively going after trying to get us down there. So exciting, very exciting.
That's pretty exciting. And I guess Chad Brownlee will be the first artist you do this with, and then you'll attempt it with other people on the roster.
Yeah, the goal is to get every release on MDM Recordings released down there. We wanted to go with Chad first because he is the elder statesman of the MDM Recordings roster.
Right.
And was the artist that we originally started having the conversations with in terms of the Australian market. So Chad will go first, followed up by Bobby, Jess, the Lovelocks, and Haley as far as the five priority releases that we've put out. And then we will do a release of the back catalog artists once we get down the line a little bit further. So. The entire roster will be available in the Australian market in physical goods, as well as iTunes and all the digital components that are out there.
So exciting to see that after 6 years, a little over 6 years, the growth hitting into Australia, and you've mentioned that 2014 all around is the best year for MDM so far.
Oh, massive growth. I'm
amazing.
Overwhelmed with what we've been able to achieve this year. It is humbling, it is scary, it is exciting, exhilarating, but I can't wait to see what tomorrow brings for our company and our roster. And
Right. Yeah,
there's the Australian piece and everything that's going on in Canada. We're finally getting the eyes and ears opened up to us from the A&R folks at various different labels in Nashville, who are taking interest in what we're doing and want to know what's going on with our roster. That is the next piece. We signed a digital distribution deal about 6 months ago as well, too, in Korea, which has all of the MDM roster now available to all of their digital service providers in that country. There is no iTunes in Korea, which is very – I didn't know that when I originally met the person that I did the deal with. He said, it's totally different here, and you give me your stuff, and I will make you money. So – the Korean piece is out there. We're piecemealing off the Nashville piece. I don't want to sign a distribution deal or a record deal in the U.S. unless I know that it's the right thing for the artist. And we're talking quite aggressively with all of the major players in Nashville about trying to come up with some sort of a deal, whether it's a one-off for one of the artists that's on the roster or whether it's something that's more specific to MDM Recordings as a whole, which allows us to find, sign, develop the best talent that we can in Canada, and then take it down to the U.S. markets when it's ready to go, so that we have a built-in fan base, we have radio success. We have videos, we have a fan base, we have music, and we can go, because it's a very expensive venture to play in the U.S. market, but you have to do it, especially in this genre. It's crucial to the next steps of growth.
Exactly, and we've seen a lot of Canadian artists do that. Shania Twain, one example of many others who've hit it big in Canada and then found the success in the States and worldwide in many cases. Do you get excited, Mike, about the song selection process? Are you involved in that for an artist, say, for example, Jess, when she's picking through songs? Do you kind of, you know, give your opinion on what you hear?
Yes, but in a different way than what you would think. I don't play music. I cannot sing. I cannot play guitar. I can't play drums. I can't do anything creative. So when I'm listening to music, and I'm listening to potential songs, I'm listening as a fan. And
Right. That
takes some getting used to for the artist on our roster, because they always think that I'm the record company president and I'm supposed to know this stuff inside and out. And the fact of the matter is, I'm listening as a fan, and if that song resonates with me, then I will say that song resonates with me. If it doesn't resonate, then I will certainly tell them that as well, too. And one of the great things about our company is that, in addition to having myself with a business background and I think pretty good ears in terms of signing talent, I also have Mitch Merritt, who's my business partner, on the other end, who's everything I'm not creatively. He's an amazing guitar player. He's an amazing producer. He's on the road with Chad on a regular basis. He can talk the language of music with the musicians and with the artists that I can't do. But for some reason, we're on the same page 90% of the time in terms of the song selection process. And Mitch has trusted me a few times with songs with Chad, from production things that he is trying to change and does this feel right, and we've had numerous discussions with that where he trusts me with my fan ears as opposed to my A&R business ears. And it works. We're really lucky. I try to stay out of the creative process with Jess on Light Up the Night, for example. I'd heard the demos, but I knew that we were kind of restarting our relationship, and I wanted to give her as much creative freedom as I possibly could, and I did. I was not involved. I was not at the recording process when they recorded the album. I worked with bringing in the right people, making sure that she was totally comfortable, and letting that direction kind of build her confidence in me to know that she could make the album that she wanted to make, and it worked. And that's totally cool. So we trust.
It's got to be exciting, Mike, when you hear that album after it's done. As you said, you weren't part of that process. You got to hear the final version. That must have been exciting, hearing that for the first time.
Oh, it was unbelievable. What was as exciting for me is talking to Jess when she's listening to the mixes for the very first time, and she's crying because it was so good. And we knew that Corey had hit it. Had taken Jess to the next level, with song choice, with production quality, and we knew we had 10 really solid songs. But again, a year ago I did not think I'd be having this conversation saying we had a gold single. That was not even in my mind. My mind was artist development and one step at a time, and let's set Jess up to have a career. Whether that's international or whether that's in Canada, that's my mindset for all of the artists. It's, you know, slow and steady wins the race, and if we're going to sign you, we're going to take the time to develop you and give you the opportunity to grow and get your chops down and whatever they are, whether that's performance chops or writing chops or whatever that is. That's my commitment to the artists that we sign.
I'm speaking with Mike Denny, president of MDM Recordings, Inc., and you can head to mdmrecordings.net to check out the artists on the roster, videos, all kinds of stuff there, and you'll learn more about Mike. Let's jump to the Lovelocks now. We talked about them earlier in the show. A great duo, Allie Rainey and Zoe Newman. Their EP is terrific. It's available on iTunes. The song I'm going to play in a few moments is Dance, which is really cool. It's an up-tempo song, but the girls had fans send in video clips of the fans dancing, and then they put it all together in this really cool video.
Yeah. The girls, Zoe has a marketing background, and she is probably one of the smartest out-of-the-box thinkers that I think I've ever met from a musician point of view. And she's come up with some amazing ideas to help promote the band and build in that grassroots kind of fan base appeal that we've been lucky enough to have. So the girls came to myself and Dale Peters, who is our radio tracker for the majority of the MDM roster, and we had kind of been talking about what we were going to do. We had Teardrop at Tattoo out at radio, which was getting a little bit of success at the traditional country radio stations across Canada. We knew the girls were in the Discovery program, New Artist Showcase thing at the CCMAs, and we knew that it's vital for the music directors and the program directors to see these two girls live, and didn't want to push the button on a new single being danced until after the CCMAs. So Zoe came up with this idea of soliciting the fan base across Canada to send in their videos of them dancing, and they cut and spliced it together to make the video for Dance, and we posted it a couple of weeks ago on YouTube, and I think it's just shy of 2,000 views that we've had in about a week and a half or so, and it's taken on a whole viral buzz of its own. Jeff Moskaluk is in
the video.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, exactly. Jordan McIntosh is in the video. And the fella who is dancing in the hallway and ends up in the elevator at the end when the door closes is Brennan Wall, who is actually Jess's guitar player. We shot that stuff when on Canada Day in St. Catharines when we had some time to kill backstage. And it turned out exceptionally well. I also think that there's some of the staff from Canada AM are in that video as well, too. So next time you're watching it, you can take a look out for Jess and Jordan McIntosh, because they are in there.
I will look for them.
So the plan is to go to radio.
Is this single headed towards
the
radio?
The plan is to go to – yeah, it's going to go to radio after the CCMAs. We'll do a formal release to radio once we've gotten through the CCMAs.
Terrific. I know the Lovelock's up for a Roots Artist of the Year and well-deserving of that nomination. Let's turn to the song now. We'll come back. Got a bit more to chat with my guest, Mike Denny, having a great time here on In the Country. This is a terrific song from the Lovelock's called Dance.
Tear down and broken-hearted, heard that your life's been hearted. You lose that sparkle in your eyes.
And those are the Lovelocks with The Dance, a future single for them, and another earworm from the MDM camp. A great song, man. Great to share that one here. I wanted to congratulate you, Mike, on the CCMA nominations. You have some, MDM has some, and of course, many of your artists have earned these nominations. How exciting is that for you?
It's really exciting. We doubled the nominations from what we had in the previous year. In 2013, we had 7 final round nominations. This year, we have 14 final round nominations. I'm a fan of celebrating Canadian country music. I'm kind of on the fence as far as awards go for handing out, saying that one is better than the other. But I think it's a necessary evil as well, too, in our industry. So we're flattered as a group of artists and our team, and everybody is a part of the nominations, whether it's, you know, Jess Moskaluk for female artist or, you know, myself for record company person of the year. There is a team of people behind behind the artists, behind myself, that is just just as much a part of this as what I am. I'm just I happen to write the check, so my name goes under the category, I guess, is kind of how it goes. But it's exciting. But we do what we do because we're passionate about what we do, and we want our artists to succeed. My award is watching my artists grow, watching their radio airplay increase, watching their sales increase, and watching their performance slots at the festival season go from 1 o'clock in the afternoon to 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 4:30 in the afternoon to headlining. That's my award.
It's got to be amazing to see that, your hard work leading up to those things, working with the artists, and as you talked about earlier with Jess, where you didn't predict, you couldn't see that this day would come with her album doing so well on the single. And I guess that's part of the music business, right? I mean, it's not necessarily a sure thing. You can believe in an artist, but you don't know how long that road's going to take to get to that the big moment.
Yeah. It's each artist is different, and each plan, launch strategy plan that we have for each one of our artists is totally different as well too. So, for example, Chad Brownlee, we knew we had the hockey story, and we knew we had a good looking dude who the girls really liked and the guys wanted to go have a beer with, and we utilized that hockey piece to help us launch the story. With Jess, she was a YouTube artist. She had literally millions and millions of views on her cover videos, and she also likes hair and makeup stuff. So we built the launch strategy around her YouTube success, around her her like of hair and makeup, developed a makeup line for her, lip gloss line, and tied that into the radio promotion stuff that we did when we were going out across Canada to introduce her to the music directors and program directors. And with Jess, we went out across Canada 4 times on radio tours, starting with country in the boardroom performances at radio stations for just the employees, to taped one-off interviews with a song being taped, to early promotions of listener winners coming in to have their face made over with Jess doing makeup while we were doing interviews and playing music, to full-on launch parties by the time we got to album launch. And that was all strategically done. And very much a part of our plan, and I credit Dale Peters, our radio tracker, with coming up with that launch strategy that changed everything for us. To put it into perspective, at the end of 2013, our radio market share was 0.95%, less than 1%. At the end of May, our radio market share in Canada was 5.15%, which is massive growth. It doesn't sound like a lot, but it is massive growth for a company in Canada, in this genre, and has firmly, I believe, put us in a position to be considered as one of the top record companies in Canada right now. And that's come with a lot of people putting on a lot of hours 7 days a week. And I'm thrilled to have the people that we have on our team, and thrilled to call them my friends, first and foremost.
Well, Mike, congratulations on all the success of MDM over the last 6 years. The great artists you have on the roster at the moment, all the success you're having, and I know that is going to continue and grow as you head into the Australian market. Thanks so much for being here, Mike. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show, and also to showcase a few of the artists on your roster and their great songs.
I appreciate the time, Dave. It's been great chatting with you, and I'm up to coming back on whenever you'd have me back.
I would love to do that. We covered a bit of ground, but I know there's so much more, and I think artists out there listening will have learned something from it, just a bit about the music business and, of course, the hard work and passion and some more technical stuff. My guest has been Mike Denny, president of MDM Recordings, and you can learn more about him and MDM at their website, mdmrecordings.net. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.